It's Tuesday evening, March 23rd.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit. That you would flow, that your truth would flow, O Lord, that it would flow, from you through us, O Lord, and that we would receive that truth. Oh, receive it, Lord. Give us ears to receive it, Lord, by your Spirit. Do that sweet, sweet work, O Lord, in which we are a manifestation of the kind of thing you were, that Paul was counseling there in 1 Corinthians 14, that we would be, display that, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I was led to just be praying for about an hour before I come, and then I was also kind of looking through the Word. And there was an interesting little segment that ministered. That is going to be needed if we're all going to come together. Oh, where is it now? It's in Romans, I think, but...
Well, there's a lot of good things in Romans. So.
I know it.
That's right.
I thought it was in the beginning. When I first started reading. Yeah, actually, I was ministered to by quite a bit of it. Just reading through different spots. Well, if somebody else has something else, go ahead. It was being like-minded.
What does that mean?
We should all be having the likeness of truth, I would guess.
But I've heard that term a lot.
Ye were like-minded.
Yep. Being like-minded. But like what? You know? Like-minded like Christ? I suppose.
I think like-minded in the truth of the Scriptures, you know? That you're all receiving the same truth, you know.
One of the biggest difficulties is that is dealing with what people have been taught over the years. And so if they're taught something long enough, after a while, that what they think it means is what it means. You know. And it's hard to get people to think something else or to change their opinion on it. And what some scriptures mean to me, they don't necessarily mean to other people.
Romans 12:2, maybe, Ken, with the be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Perfect will of God. Com- be like the people who's.
That's a good one. That's not the one I
have. You like that one, but not that's not the one you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'm gonna. See, I read in Romans and then I read in 1 Corinthians, so maybe I got them confused.
I'm just feeling a little more like 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
All ye who are like minded.
Let's see. Yeah, I read a lot of good stuff, though.
So you know the Bible, and you know what? There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, this is just a simple a little one here. It is in Romans 15. Let's see. Where do I want to start? Oh, this, yeah. I'll go 15:3. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. There's your answer. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what struck me.
That is good, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and kind of what I was thinking is that's scripture I'd love to share with maybe, you know, the Friday night prayer group or whatever. So that we start thinking outside of our boxes, you know, that we're, you know, which I have to change as much as anybody else, as long as it's the right change, you know. But sometimes that means you got to swallow some pride and whatever.
You know, that like-mindedness is appears to be a gift from God. And it is a gift that is used in praising God.
Yeah.
One mind with one mouth may praise God, you know. So that there would be a unity in the process of praising Him. And that unity is a gift from Him.
Well, you know, the God of patience and comfort grant you. I mean, sounds like a gift from God.
Yeah.
I'm violently agreeing with your point, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
I was going to just jump on, Ken. You know, it's a... You know, we know all the things. I mean, we want to be approach any kind of, you know, ministering, you know, with a heart and love towards whoever it is. And even though we may have preconceived ideas of how they're going to start out or where they're coming from, we have to allow God to be God. And even though they might start that, they might be able to make a what we would consider a huge jump and get right there. Through the Spirit, you know, I'm sure in the latter days there are people who will not have been in the Word for 20 years or more get it. I mean, we could argue Brittany and Curtis have not been studying the Bible for the last 20 years like we have, but they're getting it. And so you go, yeah, it's, you know, time on earth doesn't really equate to anything. It's time with the Spirit and what the Spirit can do.
So, I'm sorry. Here's another to go with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now that seems almost impossible in these days, but I think it is possible.
That's funny. There in Romans, it's a gift. In Corinthians, it's a command.
Plead with you.
You know, when there are contentions and divisions, usually they're purposeful things. You're not divided just by nature. There has to be a reason for it. It's Christian in 1 Corinthians 1:13. Is Christ divided? Well, no, of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Paul crucified for you?
Yeah, you know, that's... You really got to get that ingrained in your mind. If you do, that will get rid of a lot of rubbish that you've been taught.
Yeah.
You know? If you can grasp that setting right there. You know? You're not supposed to be glorifying any other man but Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, we had a Widworthy and different ones, and at the time we didn't pay a lot of attention to it, but there was a lot of self-glorification.
Yes.
You know? And even in a church leader, I won't mention his name, but he tried so hard to do the signs and wonders that he manufactured some. And that's not uncommon. That's a real common thing. Come and watch... Watch so-and-so lengthen the legs. And I never was really, too impressed by lengthening of legs. That's really easy to do.
You know, I sat with my back completely against a wall, though. And...
I'm not saying it's not possible.
No, I know. I thought about it because you mentioned that before, and I don't think anybody was touching them. They just prayed, and I surely thought that my one leg got even with the other one. You know, now who knows? I mean, it didn't make a huge impact necessarily. Well, it probably did at the time, but not one that's lingered. You know, I don't go around testifying that, oh, yeah, I had my leg, like, you know. So, yeah. But it's really easy to manipulate that, though. If you're touching the person's legs, you know. I was thinking they weren't, but I don't know. Now I don't remember, so I can't say for sure. But, huh?
I remember. The man's initials were D.B.
Yeah.
Saying that I can just about guarantee that if you come tonight, you will see a miracle.
Yeah.
I can just about guarantee it. Well, I came, you know. And I watched this leg lengthening thing. And, you know, you want it to happen. You want to see a miracle? And so I bought that. Yeah, oh, look at that. That leg is, you know, I think it was Dale's leg. That leg, you know, boy, that's going to take care of his problems. Wow, that'll great, you know. You just have a willing mind, willing, not in a good way, willing to buy a miracle when, hey, it's real good chance that this ain't a miracle that's occurring here.
Exactly.
I remember that. I remember it. I remember my own gullibility in mind that there was this miracle.
It's not that it couldn't happen.
No.
Right.
But the chances are that it didn't happen.
I can't remember. There wasn't anybody. It wasn't an evangelist or anything that was praying for me. I don't think at the time it was within our church, but maybe it was because of that that we were.
This is back in the 1970s.
Oh, that was before I was here then. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it was. Oh. Yeah, I was very early. It was within the first year or so.
Oh, okay.
First time, you know. Things didn't get bigger and better than Don Barnett back in those days, you know. So.
Yeah.
But I still remember my gullibility. And I don't want to... I've been on the lookout for gullibility in myself since then, and I have recognized it in other people, saying, woo, woo, a miracle.
Isn't that the case?
Yeah.
A plank and a splinter.
Yeah.
Really see your problem.
You know,
I don't have any mind.
I was praying before I came, and I was thinking of deliverance and stuff, and then so why I started reading in the Word was I was trying to find the places where Paul quoted not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, you know, and things like that, where it's the power of God that does it, you know, it's not us. And I remember when I was praying, and it was like I was looking, and I thought, yeah, I don't want to start praying and thinking that I have to have a certain voice tone or whatever, or you know, not, it's so easy to fall into, and I hate this word, but I couldn't think of a different one. So easy to fall into natural gimmick things within ourselves, you know, thinking, well, if I just, this will help, you know. So I was praying, Lord, give us the Spirit that was with Christ and all the disciples and anybody after that prayed with power. Give us that. Nothing in us, just that we are used, we speak. And your power and your Spirit do it. And, you know, what you have to have with that is faith, of course, kind of. I mean, you know, to know that. But it seems like that's kind of simple, but it's what needs to be, really, doesn't it? I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Amen and amen.
We have to take us
out of the equation.
Yeah. So
and acknowledge it's not us and say, Lord, you do it.
Right.
I'm just nothing more than a willing vessel.
And, you know, I've been for quite a while thinking, man, when he wants to do it, he'll incorporate that in us. All of a sudden, it's like, no, Lord, I think we need to pray for it. And if he's saying to pray for it, then my confidence goes up that he's going to give it, you know. Because all of a sudden, it wasn't me trying to figure out what to pray for to get that, you know. It was just that's what you got to ask for and want. You know, and he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. So it probably just hasn't been, and I'll just speak for me, it hasn't been the desire of my heart, you know.
Sure.
I just caught up with all the other stuff, and, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah. And even being, you know, in a sense, you can get caught up with seeking the truth in a way that you start blocking out everything else. Now, that's probably an anomaly or whatever. I mean, but you know what I'm saying?
I understand the sense that you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's not wrong to be seeking truth for sure. But you know what? I was thinking, and I think I ended up talking with Corky today. I want the attributes of Christ. I want to know love. The love of God, you know? Because that has to go with any truth. First of all, it says speaking truth in love. So, you know, you can speak truth all day long, but it kind of sounds like if it isn't with love, it's not going to be what is effective.
Right.
I think there's a trap there, and it's a trap that we've kind of fallen in before. You can say, how can I be wrong if all I'm doing is seeking God? I mean, and we've said that, and we were wrong, because you do something in excess, and you don't do it in balance, you can go over the cliff. Uh-huh. And so you just... But I think if you're doing something in love, you will have balance. I mean, I would, my heart and my spirit would leap to be in a room full of people, 500 strong, that was right where I'm at, saying, Jesus is a man, and this truth, and this truth, and this truth, and this truth, and this truth. And that may happen, but I don't want that. If that doesn't happen or isn't lined up in the natural, I don't want that preventing me from going on and sharing or meeting and encouraging someone who might not have that same, get that same revelation, because their heart may be even better than mine for God. He just hasn't given them that yet. And you know, what do we want? We want to seek and find God. We want the Spirit to come and guide us.
You know, I've noticed that. Yeah. I've had a few occasions where I was with somebody and I could tell they just needed compassion or love or whatever. And it wasn't that you went, you know, but went over and just showed this concern, and it almost always has a good effect. They feel that immediately. You know, and you can't manufacture it, you know, I can anyway, it has to come from him, but, you know, that'll take people's countenance if it's uptight, you know, it'll just loosen them up and relax them, and, you know, it's if you don't have a true love and concern for them, it's hard for somebody to reject that, you know, some do, but it's hard. And that's all part of the love, you know. I mean, that if it's God, it's, you know. So I just think I've been missing a lot in that. And so,
well,
that has to be a better way of ministering.
Right? And I've seen you do it. I've seen Corky. I've seen Keith. You know, I've seen how you do it. You know,
that's why we need the room.
We don't, you know, we don't just, we're not living it yet. Let's say that. We're not living it yet. Every day. I mean, you know. Well, I don't know if you have to go in the other room. Just wait till it subsides.
No.
Huh?
Well, maybe it won't. If I wanted to, it might not.